The beautiful Thursday continues in all of Northeast Indiana. Hi, everybody. It is Pat Miller. You heard me spend the last 5 minutes of the last half hour just giving you some background of our guest, Jennifer Ruth Green. Now, who likes Jennifer Ruth Green? The Susan B. Anthony list. Indiana Right to Life likes Ruth. Larry Bouchon likes her. Jim Banks, our congressman, likes her. Todd Rokita, the AG of Indiana, Tom Cotton, one of our favorite senators out of Arkansas, Nikki Haley, and the list goes on and on and on. A gentleman who was here in town 3 weeks ago, Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, former CIA director, they endorse this same person. They endorse Jennifer Ruth Green for Indiana's first. Let's bring her up on the Newsmaker line. Ms. Ruth Green, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here today.
Well, it's my great honor to have you, and we follow a lot politically around here. And I will just tell you, I've seen not one but three of your interviews recently, one live on Fox, and then I picked up a couple others on some other outlets. And I will tell you, you almost make me wish I lived in Indiana's first so that I could cast a vote for you. Please don't tell Jim Banks that. But I mean, you are a woman... You're a woman of incredible accomplishment. I mean, you followed in your dad and your granddad's footsteps with the Air Force Academy. You got out of the academy in 05. You served us all in Baghdad. You served us all as the deputy chief of Nuclear Command Post. And after 12 years of full-time service, now you still serve through the reserve. It seems like service is somehow ingrained into your DNA.
It's an honor, actually. You know, my parents, I grew up in a place where my parents were consistently serving. They were Christians, and they were always ready to lend a helping hand, whether it was the military or whether it was just people in our house, housing people, feeding people, inviting people over, taking care of people who were less fortunate. It's just been an honor and a privilege my whole life to see my parents do it. And so it just feels like second nature, and this is another opportunity to be able to take care of people. So, yes, thank you. They led by example, and I'm happy to follow them.
As I talk with her today, I want to tell you that this interview will be up on our site at the Pat Miller page at WoWo. So, folks, if you hear it and want somebody else to hear it, or if you want to hear it again, but you can also go, and producer John will have her website, jennifer-ruthgreen.com, up. Because now I'm not in your district, Jennifer, but is it okay if I donate to your campaign anyway? Does that settle well with you?
It is 100% okay. Thank you for asking. It's okay for anyone. Anyway, we're ready to go.
Yeah, and you can do that. And this is not going to be, I mean, your rise to the Republican nomination is incredible, and I congratulate you on that. But from this point forward, Jennifer, nothing is a given, and you have to go after it, and you have to fight for it. Do you feel like you're strapping into the cockpit for your next mission?
I do. You know, we talk about... in the military, mission first, people always. And so it is an honor for me to be able to serve at the 122nd Fighter Wing in Fort Wayne. And so serving as a communications flight commander there with the sweet people there is just an amazing opportunity. And so we talk about this in leadership all the time, which is more important, the people or the mission? And mission first, people always. They're all important. They're both important. And we just have to make sure we're ready to go all the time. And so, yes, the focus is on getting to know our people, getting to know my neighbors even deeper, understanding the needs that they have, but then also making sure that we're focused on November, because November allows us the access and influence to be able to steer our country in the right direction, because right now there's a lot of desperation as I sit and talk to the constituents that are in the 1st District.
You know, we're a little spoiled here in Northeast Indiana. We are a huge Right to Life, very conservative, very Republican era and area here in the state. We know what it's like to put Republicans in office. And I told right before the news, I told my audience, 1930 is when a Democrat was first elected back into the seat there in that district in 1930. And it's been held by a Democrat ever since. 1930. Jennifer, it's been a while. So when you say you want to go in and you want to flip this seat, I want you to flip this seat, but this is going to be no small task. What can the people of Indiana's 3rd do to help you?
Absolutely. Well, like you said, for 92 years, it's been under Democrat control. And as we see the continued devastation of the current administration and the difficulties that, you know, Congressman Mervan and Nancy Pelosi and President Biden continue to inflict, it's just clear that these difficulties are so broad and they touch everybody. So beyond just the first district, the difficulties touch the third district as well. And so when we get people who are in that 435-member Congress House to be engaged and involved in setting our country in the right direction, that's going to positively impact the third district. So I think first that the district in and of itself is not isolated. The problems are broad, and serving at a national level impacts the third district of Indiana, just like every other district in the United States.
Now, I'm asking you a question. Yeah, I'm asking you a question, Jennifer. I think I know, but I'm not telling you I know. But because of where Indiana's first district is, you're nestled up against the southern tip of Lake Michigan and Illinois to the left. If you throw a rock real, real hard, you can hit Chicago. So is a lot of what happens in first district Indiana, because in a lot of people's eyes, including the people that live there, you guys are kind of a bedroom community to Chicago. So is it that you're not just having to try to put yourself out there, but you're trying to get people that are steeped in Chicago thought to say, hey, we're Northwest Indiana. Let's stand up for ourselves and let's be what Northwest Indiana needs?
I think there's some validity to that. But I do believe also that there are a lot of people that are moving from Illinois into Indiana. And they have created this situation where they're fed up with the tax situation in Illinois, they're fed up with the laws and the government, and they've moved over to Indiana because we have our budget under control and we have politics that are sensible for the working members and for families. And so the conservative values that rest in Indiana are what people want. And so as we've continued to change the population of Indiana to more of a red type district, it's been great to be able to see. And so, yes, there are some people who think we're, you know, just an overflow of the city. However, there are a lot of new faces and people who say we're done with Illinois, we're done with Illinois politics, and we want to be in a place where we can do differently. And so, yes, the first is changing, and I'm proud to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I think you will be part of it. I genuinely, truly do. If you don't mind me saying, people need to know that you are in fact a rather accomplished young black woman, and I'm not saying that for any racial tone. I'm just saying it to say you're somebody who is deeply ensconced in that district. That's your district, and you want to do something different than what's been done before, and that's got to be giving you a lot of voice in your area. People have got to really be you're turning heads over there.
And I think it's a unique opportunity because I get the chance to have the same message but be a different messenger. And so, you know, earlier this week, I got the chance to be on a panel with the National Republican Congressional Committee and several other Republicans were in the room, some candidates and things like that. And one of the first things that I did was discuss the fact that I want to be a two-way messenger. And so as an African-American woman, I want to be able to bring African-American concerns to the Republican Party because I believe that the Democrat Party has taken the black vote for granted and looked at us as a general block and said, hey, you're black. You're going to vote Democrat next. We're on to the next.
Yeah.
And so when you see people as a block, you don't have customized leadership and you don't understand what's really happening. And so we're not a monolith. And there's so many things that are nuanced and things that need to be evaluated and adjusted. And so to be able to bring that viewpoint to the Republican Party has been a help, but then also to be able to bring the Republican principles to a lot of African-American viewers and or constituents and say, hey, these principles of hard work and economic prosperity and free market capitalism, they are better for us overall. And look at the devastation that abortion has on the black communities. And so I'm striving to be that two-way messenger, and I'm grateful for the opportunities that I have to be in communities and share the realities about the benefits of being, you know, subscribing to the Republican lifestyle.
Now, here's my pledge to you. I grew up in Indianapolis, and I came to Fort Wayne first in 1978, so it's been a while. And I know 78 sounds a long time ago to you, Jennifer, because, you know, you are at a certain age, and I am at a somewhat more advanced age. How many? Doesn't matter. But growing up in Indianapolis, I lived near Bob Shank Airport, there on the northwest side of Indianapolis. And from the time I was 5 years old, I always wanted to learn to fly, and I couldn't for various reasons, but it just didn't work out for me. I love to fly. I love to go up with friends. But here's the deal. If you see a marked reason after you win your election this fall and you see an awful lot came from Northeast Indiana, I'm going to drive over, and you got to take me up on a flight, and we got to go around and celebrate you being elected, okay?
100%. I'm all in. Anytime I can go fly, I'm all in.
You never get over that, do you?
No, you never do. Every day is amazing, and the best flight is the next flight.
There, hey, that's awesome. Same thing for the next election. There you go. Jennifer Ruth Green, you can find her at jennifer-ruthgreen.com. Again, this interview is going to be up in 5 minutes on my page at wowo.com. And if you go there, we'll have a link so you can go straight to her site. You can give there. You can see pictures of her and her service to our country and to her community. And she's wanting to continue that now. Jennifer Ruth Green, all God-fearing, God-loving, constitutional-clinging Republicans of Northeast Indiana are wishing the very best for you, and I'm serious about that. My donation is on its way. I'm hoping a lot of other people will go to the site and donate to you. I really want to see you flip a 92-year mistake and get that first district back in Republican hands. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. Bye-bye.
Podcasts by Federated Media.